Welcome back to the Embody Your Wild podcast. My name is Jasmine and I am your host for this podcast. Today's topics are very near and dear to my heart because they both hold roots in how I found myself on my own journey. For a little bit of background, way back when, I was a very new yoga teacher back in 2015. So I qualified as a yoga teacher back in 2015 in India, and I did my teacher training out there. It was really, really amazing experience. And from there, just immersed myself into the yoga world, into the wellness world, into the spiritual world. I'd started kind of dipping my toes in the year before, but from that point I just went all in. And when you have this yoga background, especially I feel because I trained in India, I was very much in the environment that of the guru. And within my own journey, that created this tendency to it ingrained a pattern I already had around looking outside of myself for the answers. But then it kind of just added this extra layer on top that even in the spiritual world, others know what's better for me than I do. So that was kind of a little bit of a background. And because I was at that point very much living from my mind, I was after this really quick paced disembodied way of trying to get away from what I was feeling, because back then I was feeling a lot, but I was experiencing a lot of dissociation and anxiety and overwhelm and deep grief that I wasn't willing or wanting to look at. I just wanted the quick fix. I want to not to have to deal with it. Didn't really have the tools to know how to work with what was there. And this was how I started my spiritual journey. So very disembodied, after the quick fixes, living from the mind, very out of my body, searching for someone who could fix me. And that's what I see a lot of in the spiritual world, is this guru, pedestal, quick fix, chip chop, let's go, let's do this, let's make it quick, let's make it happen. And even though I was seeking this, there was this really small voice inside of me that was like, this is not the way, this is not the way. But there was no other way presented to me at that time. And it took a few more years, I think up until end of 2017, beginning of 2018, that I started to embark, or I started to hear about embodiment, and I was like, oh, what's this? And I followed that pulse of curiosity. And what came from that is what we see today through my work, is that curiosity and that pulse, that thread, that just following my nose, following my body towards what was keeping me curious, is how I've come into the work and the world that I serve, the medicine that I teach and offer to the world. That was how it was born. And over those from 2017, 2018 onwards, I really started to embark on what it was like to come back into my body. And It can sound super glamorous, embodiment. And I think I've said this before on a podcast. It's a little bit like scuba diving. So if you haven't been scuba diving, you think it's really glamorous. The reality is a scuba diving. So also background, I have a scuba diving background. I used to work in marine conservation and was a dive master for a couple of years living in Thailand. But the reality of being a scuba diving person, dive master, recreational diver, is so unglamorous. Your hair is just continually just stuck with salt, so that you can this is a real sidetrack, but so that you can keep your mask from steaming up underwater, you have to spit in it and rub your saliva over the glass so that it doesn't steam up. Now, you can use baby shampoo, but you know, hardly anyone does. So just as a side note, the things that look glamorous tend to be quite clunky and not so much. And it also, that really does get to be beautiful and part of your process. So coming into the body can, and sometimes every level of coming into your body, every walk around the spiral as you arrive deeper into your body is incredible. It is life-changing on such an intangible level that I can't tell you what that's going to feel or look like for you individually, because it's your embodied awakening, it's your embodied remembrance. But there is an element of you're going to have to choose to meet some gateways into your body, which can feel a little crunchy, a little clunky, and can offer invitations for you to meet yourself on a whole new level, if you're willing to meet what's there. And that's where we can kind of come up against this, oh no, this feels a lot, this is not... You know, there's a level of sometimes you have to be on your hands and knees in the dirt, covered in your own snot and tears, like pouring with sweat, hair just like, you know, imagine you've got like been dragged through a hedge backwards. That also exists within the realm of it. And that doesn't make it wrong. It also doesn't mean that it's, you know, something to actively avoid. It's about welcoming all of you in and all parts of you in to be felt, held, loved, accepted, honoured. And it takes time. Like this, the path of embodiment takes time, which is why this idea that quick fixes that we see so often, and this is actually the perfect time to speak into this, is it's that January energy, isn't it? It's like, quick, let's all do 30-day challenges, let's do a 30-day yoga challenge, let's do this, let's spend 30 days in the gym and do all of this stuff. It's why are you forcing yourself to do that for a quick fix, when the reality is, or the reality for most people is, you're going to do that, you're going to force yourself into it, and then you're going to collapse out of it because it wasn't true and it was too much for your body. And this is what happens with this quick fix narrative, is the fact that it's like, oh, but I want to get to that and I want it now. That comes from the ego, that comes from the mind, that quick fix, I want it now, I don't want to look at anything else or take responsibility for what's here, I just want that and I want it now. That is what we get so caught up in this world, not just in the spiritual world, not just in the self-development world, but just in the world in general. And we actually have created a world of quick fixes, of, next day delivery, take like food at your door, like delivered to your door. Everything can be with you within like next day, an hour, whatever it is. We have created something. We have created a monster, a very convenient monster, but we expect that quickness and that urgency to arrive for us, for our own self-development and embodiment and transformation and healing. And we forget that our body is always setting the pace. Now, if you are new to the podcast, there are so many episodes that I speak into this on about the body setting the pace. So feel free, have a browse. We are at There's over 50 podcasts up and ready for you to immerse yourself in. So when we do find ourselves coming into this mentality or this expectation of ourselves that we're seeing so and so getting to a space fast or seemingly fast, and we have that expectation ourselves, and it just doesn't fit. We then find ourselves falling into a spiral of, I'm not good enough, I'm not X, Y, and Z. And we perpetuate this cycle of forcing and collapsing, forcing and collapsing. This is what the quick fix paradigm does. There's this idea of if we push forwards and we force and we force and we force, that we're going to get there quicker. But what we don't see is that when we force, we have to also meet the opposite of that, and that's collapse. And the body will collapse, whether that's your nervous system, your capacity to hold, or your physical body being like, hell no, we're out, we're done, that's enough, and actually making you stop. And there's so much focus on this quick fix that we actually forget that the slow and the steadiness wins the race. Not that there's a race to win, but it's the tortoise and the hare, isn't it? Where the hare even thinks it's great, it's fast, it can outrun the tortoise. The hare's the mind in this, and it's kind of going like to and fro, to and fro, to and fro, kind of like dancing circles around the tortoise, whilst the tortoise is just slow, steady, continuing forward at its own pace, not forcing, not chasing, not reaching, not grasping, but just continuing with that consistency, that consistency, that consistency. And the hare takes a nap, and the tortoise wins. Again, there's not an element of we win with anything. There's no like real end goal to this, but there's this element of the mind is going to want you to get there as quickly as you can, because there's an element within the ego that doesn't want to be responsible or meet all of the clunky things that are underneath, and it would rather just bypass it all and get to the good things, get to the destination, instead of enjoy the journey, or be in the process of it, be in the journey. It just wants the destination, because that's the perceived treasure. It's the pot of gold underneath the rainbow. And this is sold and marketed to us so much, and it is in such a disservice. It's in such a disservice, especially if there's a part of us that is not ready for that thing. We have to tend to that part of ourselves first. And the beautiful thing, and this has been such a big part of my journey of someone who was chasing the quick fixes and all of that, is when I stopped chasing and I started to honor the true pace of my body, I actually got there quicker because I was honoring the true pace. So we have to start to check in with when the mind is when the mind is getting attached to all of these external voices being like, hey, I can get you there in 3 steps. Hey, I can get you there in 10 days. And all of that absolute nonsense. Because no set of steps, no 10-day program is actually going to enable you to meet whatever it is from a space of embodiment. You can learn stuff, but it ain't going to be integrated. That takes time. And this is such a huge part of my work. This piece is so foundational. Because you have to be able to begin to trust the pace of your body. And to watch what opens up within you, but within your life as well, from that pace. And there's a piece to this as well of like, when we've been kind of in a pattern of forcing and rushing and pushing through, where we were essentially ignoring what the body was calling for, we find ourselves then drop into like this element of slowing all the way down, coming into rest and really tending to the body in that way and honoring a newer pace. But within this, it's also so important to remember that you can also find there'll be seasons in your life where you're like, right, I'm in my summer, I'm ready, I'm here, I'm gonna go boom boom boom, and that's still honoring the pace of your body. It's just going at a slightly faster pace, but it's about knowing where it's coming from. Is it coming from this deep knowing within, or is it coming from this mind chatter, the ego being like, no, we've got to get there quickly, it's not good enough, you're not good enough, blah blah, all the stories. So this is why we can't, I mean, you can, but I highly recommend that if you are someone who chases the quick fixes, is to begin to ask yourself why. Why is it that you're chasing these quick fixes? What is it that you are trying to run away from through these quick fixes? Because there will be something there that you're running away from within yourself that you may be fearful of, ashamed of, whatever that may be for you, and it's showing up in this way of, I must keep going, I must go forward, I must find the quick fix, and to really lean into what's coming up and sinking into the body. And if this is something that you're really, really noticing that, oh my goodness, this is me, 100% recommend you getting in touch for one-to-one or coming into Vessel. Those two will be amazing for you if this is something that you're like, this is me. Vessel's my online membership, by the way. And I offer a couple of options for one-to-one. One is just embodiment bundles on their own, or I have embodiment and rebirthing breathwork bundles also. So you may be wondering why I've kind of bulked these two, or kind of placed these two themes together, the guru and the quick fixes. How are they both connected? So the guru, I'll speak a little bit into the guru piece here, is the guru is a very masculine form of teaching, leading, guiding. Very much comes from traditions that have been around for millennia, and there's nothing, it's not being against a teacher, it's not rejecting this idea. We all need teachers, guides, elders in our lives, but there is a pattern that plays out where a lot of these gurus, elders, teachers can have a whole load of wisdom, but that they ask of you, consciously or unconsciously, to step outside of yourself. and to take their teachings as final, as the absolute. And they create this persona where they are place themselves above you. They place themselves on a pedestal and they overlook the people by their feet. And you can always tell when this is about by how those around the person respond to them. And this is where it can get a little bit nuanced, because there is this really beautiful thing where we can really honor the mentors and our teachers and have deep love and respect, and that is beautiful. But there's this way of noticing whether or not there's an imbalance. Is there a power play going on? And that's where you can start to discern for yourself. Is that something that you're in at the moment or have been in the past? And, you know, if someone's on a pedestal, there's only one way to go, and that's down. It's so easy to fall off the pedestal. And in my opinion, I believe that we are at this age where, I mean, there's so many teachers coming through, and mentors, guides, leaders, gurus, if they want to call themselves that, that are coming from it from a space of ego, of a space of being needed or wanted. And that in itself can cause big fracture within the dynamic. You know, where is that person's need or want to be on this pedestal, to be seen as this all-knowing teacher, this holier-than-thou godlike guru, when in reality they are a flawed human, just like me, just like you, just like everyone. And the reason why the guru is dead is the fact that anyone who is telling you that the answers are outside of you is not in full service to you and your journey and your process. And this is why coming back into your body is so important, because you will begin to know, you'll be able to discern who is speaking and teaching and leading and guiding in a way that is in service to you. That don't mean it's always going to be nice and pretty and feel good. There's still going to be moments of crunch within any dynamic where someone's like holding space for your transformation. Though it's this element of, are they taking it back to you? Are they asking you, how does that feel? How did that land? How does that feel in your body? What's coming up from you for you within that? If someone is coming into your space, or you're going into their space, and they are saying, this is this, I can see this, I can see that your aura is pink, yellow and green, that means that you are X, Y and Z, and kind of like just planting these labels upon you, is that actually in full service to you? No. And it's actually creating this slightly codependent relationship on that person, to know the answers, to tell you what the answers are, what you need to do with your life. And we can actually also see this play out in how we reach for certain spiritual tools, paraphernalia, shall we call it, like tarot cards and oracle cards and stuff. I think that I know from my own experience that these are such amazing tools to have at your fingertips. Yet When are you going to the cards? When are you going to the guru, the person outside of you, for the answers? When actually what you know, what you... Let me see how I can phrase this fully. When you come back into your body, when you start to cultivate that trust and begin to understand how your body communicates with you, you will rely upon that kind of thing, these tools, others who perceive to know the answers or what's best for you, I'll rephrase that, and attune to what your body's saying. Now, you may have a mentor or a guide that you go to allow you to be witnessed, to kind of speak your process, to be held and witnessed and acknowledged and all of these things, because being in relationship to another whilst you are healing, transforming, diving into yourself is incredibly supportive. But it's ensuring that you are choosing the right person for you. Someone who is not bringing you outside of yourself, that is trying to rescue you, that believes that they hold the answers for you and that they know best. Because in seeking the answers outside of yourself, you are unconsciously giving your power away. So there's an element of always, how can you bring it back to yourself? How can you seek and find support that's in full service to yourself so you don't lose yourself? Is this person guiding you into more responsibility for yourself and ownership of your life? Or are they projecting their ideas of victimhood or continuing a narrative that you hold about yourself, that you know you can't do this on your own, or you're not good enough to do it on your own? These things happen. It's wild. So this is why I'm so passionate about the work that I share. You know, even if you aren't ever to step into any of my spaces, but you take something from this podcast or my podcast or my social media platforms, is that everything lives inside of you. Everything you're seeking is already here. There's just this process of unearthing it from your system. And the way that you can do this, the way that this happens, is being a full participant of life. And allowing what comes to you, what situations, what circumstances, what experiences come to you, and allow that to be an opportunity to unearth what's here. And of course, get the support, but get the support that feels true, that isn't feeding this narrative that I'm not good enough, I don't know the answers because I'm not X, Y, and Z. And also just tuning into when you are chasing these quick fixes. What's the why? What are you running away from through chasing the quick fixes? What is it within yourself that you are resistant to meeting through this chasing, through this forcing? And can you begin to start to hold that compassion, hold yourself in compassion in that, whatever is arriving for you when you recognize that this need to chase the quick fixes is keeping you away from what is here and what is asking to be tended to. So I am entering 2024 just as I left 2023 and all of the other many years previously, really anchoring into this peace around rejecting the fact that you need quick fixes, that you need to get somewhere on a certain time frame, that the mindset, or that you need to go to someone else for the answers. this is the year that I'm really bringing in the death of quick fixes and the death of the guru narrative that tells you that someone knows better than you, that someone knows what's better for you than you do. Thank you so much for listening. If anything has been sparked from this for you, feel free to reach out. And if you haven't already, it really helps to grow the podcast if you can rate, review, subscribe. All of this just helps the algorithm whirl and keep going. So it'd be greatly appreciated. And thank you so much.